I'm now about to introduce a man who's everything I'm not. Tall, dark, and handsome. Reverend James Friday is my supervisor and the superintendent of Greenwood District, which means he has the tough job of looking over, encouraging, praying for all the churches of the Greenwood District, large and small. He's a native of the Ruralville, Cartersville community near Timmonsville. Went to France Marion University, finished Duke with an MDiv, has served appointments across our conference, and before coming to Greenwood, was for 4 years the superintendent of the Florence District. He's married to Deborah Clemens of Florence, and his wife Deborah's here with him. James, this is a historic pulpit. This church was built about 100 years ago when the Methodists wanted to make a statement. And we're here today for you to make a statement about our common faith in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the pulpit of Main Street United Methodist Church.
To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary for you, Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true with thanksgiving, we'll be your living sanctuary for. Our Father and our God, we pause now, O God, and pray that these words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. Choir, you have sung my soul happy, and I am now peacock proud in the name of Jesus the Christ to be with you this morning as we share for a few moments from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 51 through 62, and I ask those who are able to stand as we honor God as we read the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did. And Jesus turned to them and said to them, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them." And they went on to another village. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then Jesus said to another, "Follow me." And he says, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another says, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to who all at my house." And Jesus said to him, "No one who has put their hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just share again part of verse 59 and 61. "And the Lord Jesus said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And also he said to another, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me go and bid farewell to those who are at my house.'" Let me invite you to be a part of this sermon. If there's a neighbor nearby you, why don't you ask, "Are you going?" Come on, you're going to help me, right? Amen. "Are you going all the way with Jesus?" Keep that in mind. Are you going all the way with Jesus? You heard Pastor Phil mention that I was raised in the rural part of Florence County, a little place called Cartersville, South Carolina. We was on the other side of the woods that told the other woods we was back behind the woods. And as a child growing up in the rural area of South Carolina, we could only catch one AM station. And every morning around 6 o'clock when it signed on, we would hear the Star Spangled Banner. And every evening at 6 o'clock it signed off. And we would hear "Lift Every Voice and Sing." First, at 6 o'clock in the morning, we were reminded of the national anthem of these United States of America. And as an African American, we were reminded that God has brought us a mighty long way. We were called to lift every voice and sing, and to sing with harmonies of liberty, and to let our rejoicings rise as high as the listening skies. We were called by these songs to keep on marching towards a bright star of freedom. A song written by James Weldon Johnson as part of a celebration for the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. George Washington Carver had come to the high school where he was principal, and he wrote this poem that later became lift every voice and sing, known to many in our community as an anthem, a sacred song for the struggle of our people. I didn't realize until I got older that there were more verses to the song. But what he described in this song was a road and a path that sometimes was rocky and muddy and sometimes filled with blood and tears. A path and a road that sometimes where the going got tough and the hills were hard to climb. Sometimes valleys that were wide and deep. And even though they were marching sometime with weary feet, they were called to continue to march toward the bright star of freedom, where they knew that the Spirit of the Lord sets us free from not only our sins, but from the bondage of those things that hold us. We too, my brothers and sisters who have heard the call of God on our lives, we are called to keep marching with Christ Jesus. We are called to keep on marching just as my ancestors and many others before them, when they heard about a God who loves us and a God who is able and willing to set us free. Bishop Ken Carter, in a meeting a few weeks ago, reminded us of the kind of God that we serve, the kind of God whose love and grace and mercy extends to all. And he reminded us, when God came down to Moses to send him to Egypt, he reminded us that God called Moses from a burning bush. And in Exodus 3, sometimes when you're in your leisure time or your Bible study, go back and look at Exodus 3, verse 7 and 8. It reminds us that God sees our struggles. God hears our cries and our prayers submitted to God. God knows our sorrows. And our God not only see our struggles and hear our cries and our prayers and know our sorrows, but God comes to us to save us and to deliver us. And then God guides us and directs us according to his word and his promises. For the Lord reminded Moses, I have seen my people struggle under the oppression of the Egyptians. I have heard their cries and their prayers, and I know their sorrows. My brothers and my sisters, the God that we serve, not just sit high and looks low, but comes low through Jesus Christ, a God who not only sees our struggles and hears our prayers, but a God who comes to us and stays with us and leads us and guides us according to his promises. So my brothers and my sisters, this morning we are called to keep on marching and go all the way with Jesus, because we too have heard an old, old story how a Savior came from glory and how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like you and me, for we all are sinners in need of God's grace. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's grace. So don't get it twisted, my brothers and sisters, thinking you're better than someone else. For we may be better at covering our sins than others. But Jesus reminded his disciples, everything done in the dark will be brought to light. And so my brothers and my sisters, when we've heard not only the story about Jesus, but when we heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning. I don't know about you, but when I hear stories about what God is doing here at Main Street, how lives are being changed, people's lives are being healed, stories of God's grace and power moving among the people here and throughout Greenwood. My soul cries out, hallelujah, and I'm thankful to God for what God is doing. It's all right to praise God. It's all right to praise God. For when I think about the precious blood of Jesus to bring healing and cleansing power for our lives, when I hear about how he made the lame to walk and even the dumb to talk, and I heard stories about how God has been healing folk right here in Main Street, not across the world somewhere, but there are those right here now can stand as a witness what God has been doing here in the last year or so. So you ought to be praising God and worshiping God. When I hear about how now blind eyes see, and blindness is not always physical, for so often we can be blinded to our own sin. But when I hear that there is a mansion prepared for me, it's not just a mansion off in heaven, but it says to me that God has room for all of us. But in my Father's house there are many mansions. In other words, God had a place for all of us at the table. If you remember when Jesus was there at Simon's house, he told the story about a wedding feast and how they invited people to come, and they gave excuse after excuse. And then he charged them to go out in the streets and the byways and compel them to come, for there is still room in the Father's house. And so when I think about what God is doing through this great church, how we are connecting not only to each other, but to the community, and how I heard about the wonder-working power that God is utilizing through you, through the teaching and preaching of Pastor Phil and those who are present, how God has moved and touched ordinary people through the power of the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The power of God to move people like you and me to do extraordinary things because we've been touched by the Spirit of God. We don't need to be superheroes, but be available to God. As I ponder all that I've come to know about Jesus, as I ponder all that we have learned over the years, I still wonder why so many are not willing to go all the way with Jesus. Brother Jim pointed out this morning we have all kinds of excuses. Well, it may be too cold in the church if the heat is out, or if the air is out, it's too hot. Or well, if it's raining like it's been raining and the storms are brewing, well, I just can't make. Or maybe we're mad with the previous pastor. Or you don't get a chance to sing your song. We make all kinds of excuses, so I wonder what is it that may be hindering us from going all the way with Jesus. I think two of the followers who volunteer to follow Jesus may give us some clues as to why we find it difficult. But I want you, if you got your Bibles, open your Bibles back and look here again, because all three of these would-be disciples of Jesus, they recognized Jesus and considered him as Lord. The first one says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the second says, well, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And the third says, Lord, let me first go and bid farewell. See, all three recognize Jesus as Lord, which is, I think, is critical. When we think about following Jesus, we have to surrender ourselves and realize that Jesus Christ is Lord, not only of heaven, not only of the earth and that beneath the earth, but Christ is Lord of all. I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus reminded him that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The one thing that I'm quite sure that many United Methodist pastors and their families realize this week, that oftentimes it takes a full commitment to follow Jesus. Pastor Phil and myself and others who are pastors, who have been pastors, realize that when we made a commitment to follow God through this church, that if the bishop wants to move either one of us tomorrow, we are called to move. For we made a commitment to this apostolic ministry that we'll go where sent. Now, we may not always be happy, but we made a promise to God to go where sent. So Jesus is reminding him to follow him. Sometimes means we may not have all the comforts that we want in life. To follow Jesus may not give us everything that we want and the way that we want it. But to say that Jesus is Lord, are we confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is truly Lord? Are we confessing that we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead and we will be saved? For as Paul writes, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confession is made unto salvation. So are we making a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? What do we really mean that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives? Are we saying that we have fully given our lives to God? Is it a true confession of our faith in God through Jesus Christ? Are we saying we are fully confident that God will see us through whatever we're going through? Are we saying we now have a right relationship with God and yet we are continuously, prayerfully working through this? Have we accepted and lived in the freedom that Christ gave us as he atoned for our sins on Calvary? Are we saying that we have given our whole life to our Father's will and that now we rely on the Spirit of the Lord to lead us and guide us in all the ways that are pleasing to God? Are we saying that God's word and God's way shape our lives and our families, in our living and in our service and our witness? In other words, my brothers and sisters, are we really ready and willing to let go of everything to go all the way with Jesus? The Jesus who loves us all. The Jesus who identified with the poor and the weak and the humble and the least among us. Are we ready to let go of the creature's comforts of home and family and friends and finances to follow Jesus? Again, in your leisure and your Bible study time, take a look at Mark 10, when Jesus was approached by a young would-be follower and says, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he's told Jesus about how he had kept the commands, he had honored his father and mother. And Jesus was, one thing you like. He says, "Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. And then come follow me and take up your cross." And he left sad because he had much possessions of riches. But oftentimes when we look at that text, I think he got confused because Jesus says, "Go and sell all that you have." And those merchants know you usually sell for a profit. You have more to give. But oftentimes we are so caught up by our possessions that we want to hold on to everything but God. And then Jesus posed a question to his disciples: how easy is it for a person with riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? And those words, "It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than were a person with world riches to enter the kingdom of God. And then Peter and the disciples challenged him. Well, Lord, who can be saved? And Jesus' response, with man or humans, it is impossible. But with God, come on, somebody, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Come on, say it again. With God, all things are possible. What may seem impossible for us, with God, all things are possible. With God. When you realize, if you read this entire ninth chapter, when Jesus began this journey, he sent his disciples out to preach the kingdom of God. He told them to travel light. Take no bag, no money, don't even take two shirts. And wherever house you come in, stay there until you leave. And if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet against them. Take nothing for your journey. But sometimes we are not willing to go all the way because we have too much baggage to travel the way Jesus calls for us to travel. Pastor, you know, as both of us serve at United Methodist Church, one year when we were moved to a place close, not too far from Greenwood, Deborah couldn't find a job. And we needed the money. And so I moved in and drove back and forth. And when Deborah finally got there, she realized that I had all my clothes in tote boxes. I didn't have anything in the dresser drawers. I had nice clear boxes. I knew where everything was. And she says, why do you have the clothes in tote boxes? I said, if the bishop calls tonight, I can load the truck up and be gone by tomorrow morning. We are called to travel light. And so often, we find it impossible, especially when we are called by God to do things beyond our control. This journey is not easy. But as I said, with God, all things are possible. It's not easy, my brothers and my sisters. And the question, are we willing to leave everything? Home, family, your brothers and sisters, parents, and sometimes even children and spouses. Yes, I could have made a big fuss at Bishop, my wife can't get a job. And I tried that once. And the bishop said, this is still your appointment. But I realized that in the midst of God's grace, that the family and the home I had to leave behind, that God provided a home through the generosity of God's people. Grace extended by God's people who love God. I found brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers at every appointment I've had. And I've seen the grace of God move. It wasn't easy, but with God, all things are possible. For if you remember, Jesus says, all those who have left all these things for the gospel and for the kingdom of God, houses, siblings, parents, children, and property, you may find some persecutions, but you have these things a hundredfold now. And so often we're not willing to go all the way because we have to suffer some for the kingdom. We may lose a few things. So what are some things that we may need to let go to love like Jesus? What are some things we need to let go that we might love like Jesus? Yes, I know that Jesus says that all the commands hang on to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. But I want you to remember that Jesus, in John's gospel, the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35, he says, I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. Because when you realize that loving your neighbor as you love yourself, oftentimes isn't enough. Because we will just love those who love us or look like us. But when we love like Jesus, we receive everybody with the grace that God has extended to us. When we love like Jesus, we're willing to increase our family because the kingdom of God is among us. It's not always easy. But with God, all things are possible. For Jesus reminds us that sometimes we got to let go of our pride. Sometimes our prejudices. Sometimes our doubts. And sometimes even our riches and our biases of greed and possibly our secret sins. And we all have them. We all have them. Is the cost too high? What's the cost of holding on to all these things? To hold on to pride leads to destruction. Prejudice leads to injustice. Sin leads to death. Or better still, what's the cost of gaining the whole world and yet losing your soul? Yes, the cost is high, but the price was right, for God gave his son Jesus Christ to die for us, and we all been purchased with the price of blood, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, given for you and for me. Yet I am still somewhat puzzled, Pastor, even knowing all these things, why everyone is not willing to go all the way with Jesus. And maybe these two also give us some clues. Let's listen again in on their conversation. Now, please remember now, they all said that Jesus is Lord. For they probably know something about who Jesus is. They probably know about some of the things he's done and what he's doing in their lives. And my brothers and my sisters, it only takes one touch of the master, one encounter with Christ for God to change our lives. When I heard the choir singing just a few minutes ago, my soul got happy. I felt like shouting up in here because I encountered Christ through the sung word of God, knowing that God never fails and that God will be there in every day, in every hour of our lives. But when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. All it takes is one touch of Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. But be warned, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said, everyone who says, Lord, Lord, won't enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of his Father. We give a lot of lip service. It's the easiest thing to do. We say we're going to be faithful when we come and give our witness. But lip service is not enough. Jesus says, not only must we be hearers as well as James, but doers of God's word. For this word is the foundation of our faith. Listen to the second and third would-be followers of Jesus. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And the second says, Lord, let me first go and bid farewell to my family. And Jesus' response to each of them appears to be somewhat harsh and non-compassionate. Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, those who are spiritually dead, let them handle those kind of things. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And to the second one, he says, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, you disqualify, or you're looking too much in the past. The glory days. When Jesus calls us, he's calling for a radical commitment and loyalty. First, to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, the reign of God in your hearts. That God is first and foremost in everything that you do. And yes, he's not saying you need to give your family up, but God has to be first. And God's righteousness. Have you made the kind of confession and repentance of your sins? Because Jesus reminds us there in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given unto you. It's a radical shift from what we've always done. He's calling us to a radical commitment of faith. We may say, yes, I believe, but belief is not enough. We walk by faith and not just by sight. Because we believe with our heart, but faith is the action of what we believe. In other words, our faith shall call forth a repentance. That we must repent of our sins and confess our sins to God. And our faith assures us that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faith helps us trust God with our whole heart. And as Proverbs 3:5-6 says, and lean not to our own understanding. And in all our ways, we acknowledge God, and not just in our good ways, but in our bad ways or in different ways, we acknowledge God. I know when I've gone through this time of the year, and I questioned some of the appointments the bishop and the cabinet made when I was out there taking appointments. And now I'm at the table helping making appointments. I question God. But I've learned to trust God. When I question God, I say, well, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? Lord, I don't have enough strength to take on another appointment right now. I made confession to God that I didn't have enough in the tank. And God has a miraculous way of strengthening us even in our weakest moments. It is a radical shift. Oftentimes it keeps us from following God. But I believe this text gives us a good hard clue as to why we find it so difficult to go all the way with God. And listen, we're in good company. All of us are in good company. Because this has been nagging human beings from the very beginning. It's the me first attitude. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Lord, let me first go and bid farewell. This me first attitude oftentimes keeps us from following Jesus. We want things our way and not God's way. Listen, Adam and Eve had a me first attitude. When they disobeyed God's word and it cost them living in paradise. Abraham, the father of our faith, had a me first attitude when he told a halfway lie and said that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. Almost got both of them killed. Moses. Me first attitude didn't allow him to get into the promised land because when God told him to speak to the rock, he struck it because he was angry with the people. Jacob and his mother had a me first attitude when he stole his own brother's birthright. And then he had to run for his life. 20 years in exile because of a me first attitude. King Saul lost his kingship because of a me first attitude. Instead of him waiting on Samuel, he decided he would sacrifice the lamb himself. And even the great King David, who loved God with all of his heart, had a me first attitude when he thought that he was the King of Kings and took another man's wife. And then conspired and committed murder and tried to cover up his sin. But his sin brought death to his household and bloodshed. And if that's not enough, even James Friday had a me first attitude when I started this journey, Pastor. Many of you don't know, I was a truck driver for 12 years before I answered the call to ministry. And when I answered the call, the United Methodist Church told me that I needed an undergrad degree as well as a master's of divinity if I wanted to be an ordained elder in this annual conference. I had neither. Me and my wife prayed for almost 2-3 years. And finally, when I approached my employer about working part-time so I can go back to school, begin this process, they told me full-time or no time. And that's why I thank God for a faithful wife. She says, well, we will make it. You do what God called you to do. And so she took on extra work in order for me to go back to school. And I worked part-time with my dad. But when things got rough, I began to think about going back on the road again. Working with my dad in the shop one day, and I said to Dad, feeling sorry for myself, I said, Daddy, I think that I'm about to go back on the road. He never looked up. He's steady working on the car. He's working on. I said, Daddy, you hear what I said? I think I got to go back to work because things are just too tight. Too tight. And his words have stayed with me to this moment. He never looked up. He says, no man who has put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He convicted me that I said I put my whole trust in God. But when things got tough, I was ready to turn around and turn away from God. Me first. But when I think about being a rural country boy, some of you may be old enough to realize when people plow with mules. I only had a small time of that. Thank you, Lord. But one thing they taught us, they said, find a place down near the woods and set your eye on that place. And when you put the plow in the ground, keep your eye on that mark that you set for the road. And as you plow towards the mark, you will plow a straight and narrow road. And some of us have taken our eyes off Jesus. But Paul said, keep your eye on the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so when we keep our eyes on Jesus and forget those things that are behind us. Main Street, forget those things which are behind you and keep reaching forward to the things ahead. Press towards the mark of the high calling that God has called you to. Because the other thing about the plow, you break new ground. You break new ground for the seeding of the kingdom of God. Pray to us on that. Where he leads me. God wants to break some new ground here at Main Street. He's calling you to follow him even through the garden. Are you willing to go wherever he leads you? Remember, forget those things. Come on, choir. I'm ready. Give me some music. I'm ready. Forget those things that are behind you. I know sometimes people will try to keep you in bondage by reminding you of your sins and your past mistakes. But I want to remind you of the grace of God. That grace that goes before us. That grace that comes alongside of us. Can you hear Him calling you? But Jesus said, come unto me, all who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can you hear Him calling you? Take up your cross now. Whatever your burdens are, take it up and bring it to the Lord. Follow Jesus. Keep your eye on the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Is there one who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sins? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Because if you're ashamed of Christ in this adulterous generation, He says, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Are you willing to go all the way with Jesus? Jesus is calling. And maybe if you're too ashamed now, just let Pastor Phil know after the service. He will walk with you and pray with you. Are some of the leaders here at this church, or maybe a friend who will be a prayer partner with you? Are you willing to go through the garden where your doubts are, Lord, can you let this cup pass from me? But realize, no, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Where He leads, will you really follow Him? I will follow where He leads me. I will follow. The choice is yours. With Him, with Him. Oh.